So this is the final week of the book of Jonah. I say final because it's only 4 chapters. You would think it would take me 4 weeks. But if our Bible study is any hint, it took me about 8 weeks to get through this small book of Jonah. In Jonah 1, we had Jonah at home at Gath Helfer. And the word of God came to him and said, go to Nineveh. And about a month ago, we talked about that. We talked about the city of Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria, off away from Jonah. The Assyrians who had come and made war with the Hebrews. And so Jonah runs to Spain. He runs to the end of the world that he knew of. And God sent a giant storm after Jonah. The sailors threw Jonah overboard and Jonah drowned before the giant fish was commanded by God to swallow him up. There Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the fish, in a fish, not a giant whale, not the size of this room, but a fish probably a little bit taller than him that Jonah probably couldn't raise his hands above his head. A fish that Jonah certainly felt like was a coffin. And it was there at the bottom of the sea, inside this belly of the fish, that Jonah prays to God and says, God, you've saved me from certain death, even though we know he was still in the belly of this fish. And God heard Jonah's prayers from the bottom of the sea and commanded the fish to vomit Jonah up onto the sand. And then 3 weeks ago here, we read Jonah 3, where Jonah gets vomited up by the fish, and God says, go to Nineveh and preach the destruction against them. And so he walks to that great city, he walks into the middle of that city, and starts saying, in 40 days, God will destroy you. You are wicked and depraved. In 40 days, the Lord my God will destroy you, the city of Nineveh. And the Ninevites began to mourn. The Ninevites began to fret. The Ninevites began to fast and prayed out to God. And God forgave them. And so this morning we pick up at the same day that God decides to forgive them. And Jonah throws a hissy fit. Jonah throws a hissy fit, and in verse 1 it says, and I closed my Bible way too soon, but Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to God and said, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. A God who relents from sending calamity, Jonah says. Jonah says to God, I hate them. I hate the Ninevites. They are pagans. They are killing my countrymen. I hate them, God. Why did you send me to Nineveh? I knew that you were a God who forgives. I knew that you are a God who loves. Why would you send me there? I hate them. And so God replies back, is it right for you to be angry? Do you have a dog in this fight, Jonah? Is this what you should be angry about? I am the God. You are the man. Were you the one going to destroy them? Were you the one who was passing judgment of them? Why are you angry about this, Jonah? And so Jonah, in his hissy fit, sits down on the side of the hill, and he waits those 40 days. He waits for Nineveh to be destroyed, like he's watching a movie. He was expecting something from the Old Testament, like Sodom and Gomorrah, where God destroys that city with pillars of fire. And Jonah sits there and waits for God. He creates himself a shelter, and God provides him a leafy plant that grows up overnight. So Jonah is happy, getting ready for the destruction against those people that he hates. And then God sends a worm, and that worm eats the tree, and the tree dies. And Jonah is sweating, itchy, complaining, and says, it is better for me to die than for me to live. And I think this resonates with us this morning. How many times have we been angry with God? Times when God doesn't answer us, times when God doesn't answer our prayers, times that God doesn't act the way we think he should act. We have these questions that we've had since the beginning of humanity, which can be found in the book of Job. Why do bad things happen to good people? And what's worse, and what stings even more, is why do good things happen to bad people? I'm a good person. I come to church every Sunday because I have to. I pray. I sit in these pews. I read my Bible. How come God doesn't give me what I want? But my neighbor, the guy who lives next door to me, who is having parties and never goes to church, and I've never seen him do anything good, how come he's the one who wins the lottery? I love my husband or my wife. I love my children. But my neighbor who abuses his wife or my neighbor who abuses their children can keep their children, but my family dies. I work hard. I deserve that promotion, but it's the one who steals and lies behind everyone's back that makes the promotion. God, why are you such a jerk? This is exactly what Jonah was saying. And I think in those times, God looks at us and says, is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be upset about this? Do you have a dog in this fight? Is it right for you to be angry? Because for Jonah, with that plan, God says, I grew that plant and I gave it to you. You didn't plant that seed. You didn't cultivate the land. That plant came from me. I grew that plant up for you, and you were happy with that life. But then a worm ate it, and you were angry again. You wanted to die, God says to Jonah. Is it right for you to be angry? And Jonah says, yes. Yes, God, I hate the Ninevites. You called me out of my home. You called me out of bed. You sent me to this God-forsaken country. And your message was that you will destroy them. And I was happy about that, God. I wanted that to happen. I hated the Ninevites. And so as I'm waiting here, bleached from the fish's stomach, and that's probably why Jonah was bald at this point. When the sun came, God, yes, I was angry because nothing was going my way. Jonah says, you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to love and abounding in compassion. Slow to anger and abounding in love. Sorry, I need to read my notes. And so finally, God says in verse 11, and should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh? There are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and just as many cattle. God says, Jonah, you're a Hebrew. You know me. You know my laws. But these Ninevites are like children. They don't know any better. I feel bad. I keep pointing at the choir. I'm going to point this way now. Sorry about that. These Ninevites are like children, God says. There were 120,000 of them and cattle. I called you out of your hometown. I called you out of Israel because maybe you could preach to them. Maybe you could teach them. Maybe because you know that I am slow to anger and abounding in love, maybe you could make a difference. They are pagans, Jonah. They don't know me. I haven't called them out of darkness. I haven't called them out of chaos like I did for you and your people. Is it right for you to be angry? I am the God, you are the man. And Jonah, 120,000 people are alive because of you. Is it right for you to be angry, Jonah? And because the truth is, for us and for Jonah, there are many times in our lives that we feel angry. That we feel angry with God, that we wonder how come our neighbor gets what we don't get. if I'm the good one, if I'm the one who knows God, and if I'm the one who prays, how come life is so unfair sometimes? Because the truth is, we don't have that right to be angry. Every day is a gift, and sometimes I think we're so stuck in the weeds that we don't look at the bigger picture. Next week, I'm going on a road trip. Another road trip for those frequent listeners. My mother and I decided to go and visit my grandfather in Oklahoma, which is a 23-hour car ride. When me and my mom talked about this, we said, hey, we don't live together. It's been about a year now. Let's go on a road trip. We can spend time together. We'll stay in hotels on the way. And then when we get to Oklahoma, we'll see our grandfather and see my uncle and then stay for a week and then come back. And then my little brother says, ooh, can I come? Sure. You know what? Noah moved out a couple months after I moved out. My mom misses him. It'll be a little tight. That means someone's sitting in the back seat now, Noah, but that's okay. And then my other brother goes, ooh, can I come? And now it's like, well, no. No, you can't, because it's not a big car. It's not a giant car. It's not, we can't sleep in this car, and now there's gonna be four of us, and that means four bladders and four trips to the bathroom and four times the amount of struggle and twice the number of hotel rooms that we were spending time on. And so this past week I was up painting for my mom and power washing and just normal son stuff for my mother. And so my brother's there and we're looking at maps and trying to figure out where we're gonna sleep. And my brother goes, it's only 21 hours. Why don't we just drive through? And I look at him and go, this is my trip. This isn't your trip. You didn't plan this trip. I planned this trip. You're just kind of, you're coming along with us. No, Chris, we're staying in hotels. And he goes, okay, well, how about we try? I'm like, no, Chris, like, we had a plan. Like, this is what the plan was. I'm a planner, for those who don't come to church council or trustees. I'm a huge planner, and I like to make sure I know what's going on. And so my brother keeps trying to, well, how about we change this? How about we change this? How about we do it a little bit differently? And finally, at the end of this, I'm getting a little frustrated. This is my trip. Me and my mom were going to go and spend some good mother-son time. Then my other brother wanted to come, and okay, fine. Now the other brother wants to come, and I'm saying, okay, there's going to be four of us in this little SUV driving halfway across the country. Is it right for me to be angry? My brother who just wants to spend time with my mother and myself. My brother who wanted to take the time off that he is overworked ever since I left that job. Is it right for me to be angry? The truth is, sometimes we forget what gifts have been given to us. Sometimes we forget that we are alive on this planet, that it is a beautiful day outside, even though it's raining for weeks on end. Sometimes we forget, and then we get angry. And it's times like that that God says, is it right for you to be angry? The Ninevites did not know their right hand from their left. You saved their lives. Is it right for you to be angry, Jonah? I gave you 20 wonderful years with your spouse and then took them. Is it right for you to be angry? Yes. Yes, it is right for us to be angry, but we don't stay angry. I read a great post on Facebook, and I'll close with this. The post said, I don't come to church because I'm perfect. I come to church because I know that I'm not. I don't come to Jesus because I'm a saint. I come to Jesus because I'm a sinner. Because if we were perfect, if we were all that level, and I know the choir and some of the congregation are those perfect, blameless people, but I am not. And if we do try to come to church because we are perfect, if we do try to come to the cross because we are perfect, because we are worthy, we're going to be put in our place very quickly. We are not worthy. There's a reason why that cross is so important. It's because for you and for me and for every single person on this earth, we are not worthy of that gift. We do get angry with God. We do yell at God. We do say, God, you are a real jerk sometimes. Why did you do that to me? But that is a story as old as time. Humanity has been struggling with that since the very beginning. Because God still loves us, we don't have to remain angry. Because Jesus came, we don't have to remain angry. Because we are an Easter people, we don't have to remain angry.